way before time even began, all the way through the eternal ages to come. And we are here at this monumental time for the manifestation of it all. What a blessed time we live in. Revelation 2 and 3, as we've studied many times, provides us with the present condition or state, if you will, of all saved people, depicting them as seven churches, of which Jesus is presently searching among, and each of these churches have various characteristics, and some of the characteristics of each of the seven churches are admirable, and some are in definite need of correction. Only two of the seven churches, as we know, Smyrna and Philadelphia, are presently in the state of being full overcomers, while the other five are being given time right now and given opportunity to repent. And that word to a Christian means to change your mind. Without repentance or a changing of the mind, their shortcomings will prevent them from being in the bridal rank. And Jesus is searching for that one, isn't he? He's searching for that one most precious, virtuous, and mature one to be his bride. She will be a reflection of his glory in every way. Her brightness is like the moonlight, and we see that analogy in Scripture. The moon doesn't cast any light of its own. It doesn't generate light. It simply reflects the light that is generated by the sun. And the brightness of Jesus and hers shall illuminate heaven for all eternity. Now, the lesser of the five churches have spiritual imperfections, as I mentioned, that need to be overcome in order to progress to the state of the other two. They include such things as worldliness, carnality, spiritual and physical fornication, religious idolatry, legality, false doctrines, worshiping of men, spiritual laziness, complacency, indifference, sleepiness, drunkenness, dismissive toward the high calling of God, blasphemous of the Holy Spirit, self-dependent, self-righteous, vain, proud, and unrepentant. The bride of Christ in no way can flirt with the things of the world and be married to Jesus. He will not have that. Conversely, we see the virtuous woman that we read in, as described in Proverbs 31. If you bother to count, there are 40 spiritual qualities that separate her from all other women. She has been perfectly tested. She's industrious. She isn't idle. She's not lazy. She is honored and she is revered for her selfless submission to her husband. She does not fear her husband. Rather, she honors him with the works of her hands and the love of her heart. We don't fear the Lord. We love him. Proverbs 31:31 says, "Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Because of her life's testimony, her husband is known among the elders in the gates and is honored. When they see her in the marketplace, they know who her husband is and whose wife she is. She is his crown of adornment. Her wealth is her husband, and she is his glory. The bride of Christ is active concerning the things of God. She diligently studies the word of God, dividing it correctly. She prays with a thankful heart and worships with genuine humility. She is compassionate and charitable. She is wise, she's kind, and she's fruitful in the word. Her adornments are the works of love and grace toward others. Her testimony is of her husband and nothing of herself. It's all about him. She denies her own will and always puts him and the needs of others before her own desires. She prepares herself daily to meet the man who has proposed to her. Behold, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Proverbs 31, 28 and 29 say, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And while she is readying herself for eternity with him, he's preparing an eternal place for her in that throne, in that very throne. Because her heart is only toward him, he trusts her completely with his heart. He knows her love is for him alone. And when he takes his bride, he is now made complete. That plan of all eternity is now fulfilled. The mystery of the church age is now reality. Surely, just as God is not willing that any should perish, he also wants all saved people to aspire to be his bride. But we know that she is a separate rib portion, a small company, taken out of the body of Christ, the church. He is giving those who are saved time to prepare in order to attain to the state of bridal saint as those in the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia. But that time is coming to an end. The provisions for both salvation and matrimony have been afforded to all, although many are called, few are chosen. I was thinking about that many of these beautiful women in Scripture, and I thought about Esther. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king. This is the important part. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Esther brought nothing of herself, did she? Not one thing. The keeper of the women, to us, that's the Holy Spirit. We're only to bring what the Holy Spirit brings to us. The greatest investment I believe we can make right now, until he comes for us, is to prepare ourselves for eternity with our bridegroom, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a preparation. What could you possibly compare to the glory which shall be revealed in you, to be seated as his bride, to rule and reign forever with him in all eternity? What could even remotely compare to that? Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. He will. That's what he's here for. He will prepare you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And as we just sang in that chorus, his coming draweth near. And I pray that day is today. Don't you? Amen. Amen. I hope this has been a blessing to your hearts. And again, may he come today. God bless you this morning.